It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the Gospel of John, John chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 31 of that chapter and finish the chapter today. And so please open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, John chapter 3, verse 31. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope not that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. John chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abide on him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start the study. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can enjoy this time together. It's wonderful to look to the Word of God and to enjoy the Word of God. Please that you will guide and lead us through your Word, your living Word. It's just as if, dear Father, we're speaking to your Son, the Lord Jesus, as he teaches us your way. And we have the Holy Spirit as our instructor to do that. Thank you for this time together. I ask that you'll touch every heart, that folks will believe. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Please, please, dear Father, help today that all that are lost, that do not know your Son, the Lord Jesus, as their Savior, that today they come and they trust in you. Please, today, dear Lord. And please that we continue to grow then, that would be just the beginning of life, and we can walk each day with you, and it all begins at the cross of Calvary. So please guide and lead us today now as we enjoy this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked at these verses of Scripture back in the earlier verses, and I just started with verse 31 because that's kind of where we started. But it is a place where I want you to back up just a little bit here as we look at verse 27, because it kind of builds into verse 31 in those areas there. So if you don't mind, I'm going to back up now just a little bit here, and I'm going to look at verse 27, 28, and 29, and 30. 27, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except to be given him from above. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not Christ, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy thereof is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." I wanted to back up just a little bit. We have looked at these verses of Scripture, but as this third chapter is so powerful, it makes it so clear. There isn't a book, a chapter or a book that makes our way of salvation clearer than this here. And I hope that you have not missed it. I hope that you're not hanging on to some religious teaching that you have had in the past, but that you look clearly to the Word of God for your authority, because the Word of God is the only truth that we have. It is the only book that tells us of salvation and life eternal. People have written other books and attached other books to it. They have changed the Word of God. Oh, please, dear friend, just look to the Word of God. I keep the old King James right in my hand, and I'm not going to change. Oh, there's some others that are good, I suppose, but why change when something as the King James is so clear? And you say, well, I can't read that. We're to not read it like a novel. We're to study it. And if you would study it, you'll find it not to be a problem at all. And so please, don't use that as an excuse. Get your old King James Bible out. Begin to study it. And find salvation in Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary, and then begin that wonderful walk of life that you have. John is experiencing that walk, and John is experiencing that walk firsthand because Jesus himself is right there. And so what a wonderful opportunity we have to look at John and what John is and what stands here. It's just a wonderful day as we look to the Word of God now. Again, John answered and said, and this whole section here prior to this is concerning Nicodemus and what was going on there. There again was a very religious man, religiously lost and needed a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. And we know that he did come to the Lord Jesus and trust in him. I need you to do the same. But as we look through and we find in that next section here, starting at verse 22, that there's a little bit of a problem between the disciples of Jesus and the disciples of John. Well, there shouldn't be, and John sure didn't want it that way. And that's what we're kind of dealing with here. And look at this. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Now, people that do not believe in a God at all, or do not believe in the true God, are very limited in their use upon this earth. They can be ever so smart, they can know so much, and be educated so well, and yet so very ignorant, because if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you have no opportunity of wisdom. You have no understanding of what this world and everything is all about unless you know Jesus as your Savior. The Holy Spirit will speak to your heart. Do it right now. He'll touch your heart. He'll call you. He'll show you the love and the great power that our Savior has to take our sins away. All that was done upon the cross of Calvary. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus died for us. He has taken care of that, if you'll just come by faith. And so John here is a very wise man because he is born again, and you need to be born again. And he makes a very humble statement here that many people, I suppose, would not want to admit. But a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. John is given much. I mean, John is given so much light and so much wisdom. He is a man of God, a servant of God. And you know, God the Father knows who can stand to be promoted. And when I say promoted, I mean put in a position of power. And John was. John was put into a tremendous position of power. And that power was not to be over man, and not to lead someone, as you would think a government official or someone in the position of a great strong company, and to be a leader there. John was such a leader and given so much light because he was leading people to the light, to the Lord Jesus. And it takes a good man not to get a big head. It takes a good man to not think that he is of great value and cannot be disposed of. And John understands that he is nothing without his Savior, the Lord Jesus. Do you realize that? Do I realize that? What a question, that we are literally nothing without our Lord and Savior. All spiritual gifts are in His hand, our Savior's hand, and He controls them. He gives them, every one. There is no gifts, there's no strength. And you say, well, I know a lot of people that are very, very smart, do very, very well, and they're not even saved. They don't go to church, they don't believe in God or anything. Those folks may be book smart, I suppose, if you want to call it that. Worldly smart would maybe be a better word. But they're very, very dumb when it comes to this life, to what's important in this life. And if you would really get down deep into their hearts, you're going to find that they're miserable because they just keep thinking that things of this life and things of this world are going to satisfy. Power will satisfy. Well, the only power that satisfies is the power that we're given by the Holy Spirit to teach us about Jesus and to live each day serving Him. We need to walk in the light that our Lord Jesus gives us. And He gives us that light. And we need to serve. We need to be good stewards with what He gives us. And John is just that. He is not all puffed up because of the position that he's been given. He is the forerunner. He is the introducer, the one that brings before the world Jesus, the Son of God. The Son of God. There has never been a person that has walked upon this earth that has been greater or more important than our Lord Jesus Christ, because He is God. He is the maker of all the world. You know, when you go to a company and you maybe the individual that you meet in the top penthouse office and you shake his hand, and he started from the ground up and he's built his business, maybe a multi-billion-dollar business that he has built, and he did it all by himself, and he is a very, very knowledgeable, very strong, very prideful man. Well, my friend, he couldn't have done anything if God would not have permitted it. And if he really wants wisdom and strength and happiness and joy, then he will become a born-again Christian. He needs to be saved. People today try to deny that there is a God. They try to deny that it is important to have a God, let alone need a Savior. But we need to understand that the maker of this earth, the creator of this world, is also our Savior and will also be the judge when that time comes. There's some verses of Scripture back here in Psalms chapter 75. This isn't just a new message that we have here in John. John chapter 75, verses 6 and 7. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one, and he setteth up another. Where does the power come from? Where does the strength come from? It comes from our God. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus, then you have very little understanding about what this life is all about. You may think, according to the world's standards, that you have accomplished much, but my friend, you have not. If you don't know Jesus, you've literally accomplished nothing. I, John, answered and said, a man can receive nothing except be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. You know, I've seen this for years, and so have you, I'm sure. People don't listen. That's probably the greatest problem next to lost folks ignoring the need of salvation, and that's to hear. We get so involved in what we're doing that we don't listen to anybody else. We're not good listeners. Well, even John's disciples, those that were walking with him as he was introducing Jesus to the world, they didn't listen. John pointed everything to Christ and not to himself. Yet even those very close to him and others as well missed that. The followers of John were becoming a little jealous because Jesus was gaining momentum. And John had to deal with that. And so, he tells us here in verse 29, uses an example here. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Now, if you understand, if you've studied the Scripture, you'll understand this very easily and very clearly, that We are the bride, the church, all born-again believers, not a given church, not Parkview Bible Church, all the people that belong there and were joined that church and were baptized scripturally and all those things. It's I hope that everyone at this church is born again. Only God knows the heart. But it sure isn't a given church. It isn't a given denomination. Some claim that. Some claim that if you don't believe and follow our teaching, then you're hellbound. I understand that. I've been told that. And it's a sad statement, because there can be and probably are born-again believers in every denomination. Some are serving the Lord as they should, in honor and glory to Him, and some are not. Some are serving their denomination, and they will answer for that mistake, but at least they're born again. The bride is all born-again believers, from the birth of the church to the rapture. That's the bride. Every individual from the time of Pentecost, every person that was born again has become the bride. Every person. Every person that's led, and this is prior to Pentecost here, every person that comes by faith to Jesus Christ during this time is the church age and is called the bride. So every individual that has confessed Jesus Christ, I can go back generation after generation of my family, if I knew, and I don't, but if I knew their relationship, and isn't it sad that that isn't something that was brought through to me? That go back a generation or two generations or 10 generations, that each one of those generations took so much time to tell their children about Jesus, about how he would be born again. And then when their children was born, that they would tell their children, the most important thing is you must be born again. But somewhere along the line, it's lost. People started just going to church and trusting in their religion instead of being truly born again. I thank the Lord that I have had the opportunity to be born again, and I'm a part of the bride. If you're not born again, you're not part of the bride. But John says here, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Now the bridegroom, of course, is the Lord Jesus. We are the bride and the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. What makes John happy? Hearing the voice of Jesus. How do we hear the voice of Jesus? Is when we praise Him and we honor Him and we serve Him. You'll hear the voice of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will show you so clearly the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy. You know, so many people talk about the Holy Spirit. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with Jesus. The Holy Spirit doesn't teach us anything of Himself. The only thing the Holy Spirit's purpose is, according to the Word of God, is to teach us of Jesus. And what's Jesus' purpose? Is to save us, yes. To be a judge, yes. But to show us the Father. To learn of the Father. You can't know God the Father without knowing the Son. You can try, but it's not going to take place. Listen. The followers of John didn't listen because he continually, constantly was telling of Jesus, praising Jesus, honoring Jesus. John pointed everything to Christ, and yet those followers weren't listening. They missed it. Now this bridegroom, he that hath the bride is a bridegroom. That's Jesus. But the friend of the bridegroom, that's John, which standeth and heareth him. A servant. Get this picture in your mind. A servant at the table of his master. Is a servant seated at the table? Is a servant out back resting, a servant, a good servant. You know where he's at. You know where she's at, standing at the table next to the master, waiting for the next command. That's what a servant is. John's a servant. And so when it says here, and some of these things you might miss when you look at here, but I don't want you to miss that. The friend of the bridegroom is John. The bridegroom is Jesus. The bride is you and I. Anyone that's born again, now, and if you're not born again, that does not include you, which standeth and heareth. And so there's a couple things here that John's doing. John is in a full, complete servant role. He is standing next to his master, just waiting for the next instruction, waiting to hear what he has to say and what he can do to praise him and honor him. In the day that this was written, to a Jew at that day, the bridegroom's friend is the communicator between the groom and the bride. You see what's going on here? John is the communicator. That's what he does. At this day, that's what the bridegroom's friend did. He would communicate between the groom and the bride until the wedding day. Kind of sounds like the Holy Spirit a little bit, doesn't it? That's what he does. He brings communication between us. And again, to stand shows that John is inferior to the master. John is less, Jesus is more. Verse 30 tells us that he must increase, but I must decrease. What beautiful words. He must increase, that I must decrease. John said, this is the will of God, that I go away and Jesus is praised. Jesus saves us, so Jesus should always be held in the most highest place. We should love, honor, worship, and adore him in our hearts. Verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. The Creator is the greater, the greatest, but is greater than any of the creatures that he's created. Isn't it something how that we, being the most advanced of God's creation, are the only ones that deny him? All the world, the birds, the animals, the earth itself, all bow before our Lord. But not the most advanced race, the only one that has a soul, is the one that denies him. Just please remember that. The Creator is the greatest. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fulfilleth all in all. The 20th verse says, which is wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places, far above. That's our Lord and Savior. Please don't deny him. Please don't reject him. We are very limited here upon earth, and the only means of strength and power that can be had is by coming to our God and serving Him. Jesus, on the other hand, is not limited in any way. He's heavenly. We're earthly. Very simple. So please, as one from the earth, do not abuse, reject, deny, blaspheme the name of Jesus. He is the creator of this world. He spoke it into existence. Acknowledge that. Bow down to Him. Serve Him. Praise Him. Verse 32. And what He hath seen and heard, that He testifies, and no man receiveth His testimony. He being Christ, as a preacher of the Word of God, as we speak, we should only speak about what has been taught us by the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't teach us, again, don't miss this, because most of the world has, most of the church has today. They have gotten so sidetracked upon the Holy Spirit that they don't realize that the only purpose of the Holy Spirit is to tell us about Jesus. So if you're just learning about the Holy Spirit, you're missing everything that the Holy Spirit's teaching. Because the Holy Spirit is teaching you Jesus, telling you about Jesus. That's what He's doing. Christ was the Word, and He delivered what He had seen and heard with the Father from the beginning. Jesus wasn't just born in Bethlehem. Jesus has been forever as the Father, as the Spirit, all three. Christ, being in heaven, knows everything, has seen and heard everything with the Father from the beginning. And He comes to teach us these truths. What He has seen and heard, that He testified, and no man receiveth His testimony. Many come, but few stayed. Multitudes followed the Lord Jesus, but few were really born again. That's the way it's going to be. When the church is raptured, we're not going to have a lot of effect upon this world, because this world has rejected the Lord Jesus. No man receiveth His testimony. They have rejected Him. These truths that Christ, as God, declares, He declares with authority. What He heard, what He knows from eternity, that's what He can teach you and teach me. Don't you want to have the great teacher? Listen as the Holy Spirit teaches us and tells us about Jesus. First thing He's going to tell you, that you're a sinner and you're lost. The next thing the Spirit's going to tell you is there is a Savior. And He's not saying, I'm the Savior. He's saying, I know the Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. And you need to come by faith to Jesus, because He went to the cross of Calvary and He died upon that cross and He was buried and He rose again 3 days later. That's God. God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. We just have that very closely here, don't we? Verse 16 of this same chapter. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And yet the Scripture says, they did not believe Him. They didn't trust Him. Oh, my dear friend, what a sad, sad day to have an opportunity to know the Creator and have Him as a Savior to take your sin away, and to serve Him and to praise Him. What a sad day to ignore Him and reject Him. It'll be to your damnation, my friend. So I'm going to ask you this question, as I always do. What are you going to do about Jesus?